Hi, and welcome to Heart, a Kingdom Hearts podcast, where I, Austin, explain the Kingdom Hearts series to my friends.
Hi, howdy, hi, it's Cronus, back again for another pod episode.
Podisode.
Hello. Sunshine, the earth says hello. It's Darylise.
Hi, I'm Riley, and I'm still here. Happy to be on the pod, so.
Thanks for having me.
How's y'all's week been? It's been a while.
Oh, so busy. So much schoolwork has happened since the last time we recorded.
Are we doing this?
A whole 80 hours. Yep.
I slept another 24.
It's been a long, hard week. Do you guys happen to remember what happened last time?
Oh my god. It's been so long, yes. Go ahead, Darylise.
So the thing is Sora and Riku have been traversing the dream realm, locking up keyholes, spreading Christianity wherever they go.
Ew.
Riku is heavily in love with Sora. But
as per usual,
very, very in the closet. Quasimodo and him had a heart to heart. And young Xehanort pops up here and there to dispense cryptic, weird wisdom when he can.
These are all facts.
Yeah, and that's all I got.
Sora once again proved that he doesn't care about his friends.
True, just let Tron fall into the abyss for no goddamn reason.
Riku is a more compelling character. Joshua really was like, all right, Sora, help us. Yes, help us. Okay, Riku, let me tell you what's going on here.
Yes, 100%. And
they're looking for Zigbar. Or Isla, or somebody, and it's not Axel, it's Lee. Do you got it memorized?
Doth thou commit it to memory?
Doth thou remember?
Yeah, that's basically it. So we left them.
The Spellikin.
Having trapped the Spellikin, and then it escaped through the keyhole off to another world, Sora agreed to continue to hunt it down in whatever world it went to. They seal their keyholes in Traverse Town and move along to the next world. Sora arrives in the country of Musketeers, and finds Mickey of the Three Musketeers fighting some Dream Eaters. Donald and Goofy have run away. Sora wonders about why Mickey is in this world, eventually determining that this must be some world that they came to before meeting Sora, so that these versions of them are the dreams of this world. We also learn that the Musketeers are here to protect the princess, Minnie. While taking her by carriage somewhere, a T-Rex-like Dream Eater attacks. After defeating it, Sora and the Musketeers are kicked off the carriage, and the princess is then stolen away by the Beagle Boys.
The Beagle Boys.
Sora and the Musketeers regroup and continue chasing on foot, eventually finding the carriage abandoned. They continue to a nearby tower and fight the Beagle Boys, rescuing Princess Minnie before returning her to the castle. Sometime after returning to the castle, they discover that Captain Pete, the captain of the guard, the one who put them in charge of protecting Princess Minnie, was behind the Beagle Boys and is about to kidnap her yet again. Pete confronts Sora and Mickey, knocking Sora out and kidnapping Mickey, taking him off to a dungeon. Donald and Goofy eventually find and wake Sora, and the three go off to save Mickey and Minnie. Together, they save Mickey from drowning in the flooded dungeon. Mickey then says that Pete mentioned going to the Opera House, so they rush there. When they arrive, Sora fights Pete and the Beagle Boys while the Musketeers get Princess Minnie to safety. Sometime later, Minnie officially dubs the four of them Royal Musketeers. They do a classic all for one and one for all, before Sora seals the sleeping keyhole and moves on to the next world. No weird popping in from the bad guys. It's a pretty major plot-wise unimportant world, if I'm honest.
Like the Beagle Boys.
Petition to change them to the Bagel Boys.
Every time I read them from now on, I will say the Bagel Boys.
Yay!
Riku arrives at the world outside of the Opera House, and the first person he sees is Pete heading inside. Knowing Pete is always up to no good, he follows him. Eventually, that's called entrapment, Riku, actually, now that I think about it.
Yeah.
Eventually, Riku runs into the Bagel Boys and Pete, who are testing traps that they've set up for the Musketeers. We saw this trap malfunction in Sora's story, and he was convinced that it was thanks to Riku.
Aww.
While looking around, Riku finds Princess Minnie locked in a chest. He, of course, frees her. While they discuss the trap and needing to find a way to stop it, the Beagle Boys come up and conveniently are discussing a wheel that is integral to the trap working. Both groups notice the other and the Beagle Boys run off with the wheel. Riku pursues them. After retrieving the wheel, Riku is attacked by a mole-like boss Dream Eater named Holy Moly. After defeating Holy Moly, Riku is able to use the wheel to disable Pete's trap. After one last combo with Minnie, Riku seals his keyhole and leaves. Bagel Boy.
Bagel Boy.
I don't like their logo.
After the Country Musketeers, it cuts to the mysterious tower, where we see Lee speaking to Master Yuan Sid, but we don't hear his words. We do, however, hear Mickey, Donald, and Goofy's shocked reactions, and then their future conversation.
What? I sensed something was amiss nearly the moment Sora and Riku departed. Xehanort must have known what we were attempting before we even began.
But you do know where they are.
You must understand, this examination is in no way how the mark of mastery is usually found. However, in light of what they must do next, it was a necessity. If Sora and Riku complete their test by finding the seven doors corresponding to the seven pure lights, they will return home with a new power. At that point, they will both be true masters. However, the dangers make this more trial than test.
But are they safe right now?
Considering their ability, I would like to believe that they are. However, all my attempts to locate Sora and Riku end questionably. Xehanort is a devious tactician. There is nothing we can do that he will not, to some extent, be able to predict.
So?
As you can see, the organization's members are complete people again. Xehanort will be no different. We cannot afford another moment's hesitation. We must consider any strategy to outwit Xehanort and catch him off guard. I must warn you again. The road will not be easy.
Fine. Let's jump right in.
Love his voice.
And, you know, that's a big, long jumble of nonsense that I felt it was going to just be easier to watch the video of than try and have us do a really long dialogue of, you know?
Yeah.
So we don't know what Lee told them, but it shocked everybody, and then they had other stuff to discuss. Sora arrives in a world that appears to be the Mysterious Tower, that's the Incense Tower, and watches Mickey do some Sorcerer's Apprentice shit, and is almost instantly attacked by the Spelican. The attack seemingly knocks him out, and then he wakes up inside the tower sometime later. Sora turns to see Mickey in a seemingly darkness-influenced trance, resting in Yensid's chair and moving his hands like a conductor. We also see two music stands with notes floating around them, and a little bit of the darknessy vape stuff that we see around Mickey. Sora swings the keyblade at one of the music stands, thinking this will help Mickey, but instead he is just blasted backwards onto the floor. After being blasted to the floor, suddenly Sora experiences a curse worse than death, as he can now hear Mickey's voice in his head. Sora is clearly confused for a second about where this voice is coming from, since he sees that Mickey's mouth isn't moving.
Gosh, is that a keyblade? Who are you an apprentice to? I'm Mickey, the Sorcerer's Apprentice.
Oh, huh? Apprentice? Wait, am I in some world where the king was still in training? So, does that mean this world is sleeping?
What's wrong?
What? Oh, I'm Sora, the, apprentice of, hey, listen, your magic. I gotta stop that. Mickey, what can I do to save you?
Thank you, Sora, but it's no use. A monster's possessed that music, and he's releasing darkness that stops anybody from going in there to fight him. To dispel the darkness, we need a sound idea.
It's that Dream Eater I let escape. Okay, where do I get a sound idea?
What? You'll find one for me?
Of course!
Thank you!
It's not every day I get to do a favor for the king.
Huh? Did you say something?
Oh, nothing. Long story. So what exactly is a sound idea?
Inside this musical score should be a power that can sweep away any darkness. But you gotta be careful. In between those clefts and notes are monsters. Not as strong as the big one, but still pretty strong.
Got it.
Darkness Fang.
Hate Mickey.
Dear Elise, you look so confused.
Well, it's not every day you get to do a favor for the king. Sora, that's exactly what every single one of these games are. You're doing a favor for Mickey. Excuse me? My thing is like, at any point, Sora could probably literally just be like, nah, I'm out. And just go back to Destiny Islands and chill the fuck out.
But he's gotta do a favor for the king.
I really would like to see a story or a video game story of somebody really trying to avoid becoming the protagonist, just doing everything possible to not get sucked in.
Yeah.
That would be extra funny in a video game.
Mm-hmm.
So funny. Like, your tasks are avoid being the main character.
I like that.
Like a monster attacks you and your only option is cry for help.
Oh god.
That's your only button.
accidentally says like a really witty one-liner. God damn it.
Your health goes down.
Fucking Mr. Magoo's himself into accidentally killing the monster and then is pissed off that he defeated the monster.
Oh god.
Sora enters what's called the musical realm, as the prompt in game says, when he approaches that third music stand that Mickey summoned. and fights many Dream Eaters along his path until he finally arrives at the Sound Idea. As he approaches it, we hear young Xehanort from behind him. So easily you sink into the depths of slumber.
Why are you here?
Beautiful world, isn't it? Almost like a dream.
Why are you following me around?
You really haven't caught on? Or are you just assuming it's all part of your little test? I'm not part of the dream. And if you thought I was, then you're softer than they say.
What?
But this will all be over soon.
This... Who are you people?
Sleep on, and we will meet again.
Say less.
Young Xehanort dips after saying more vague stuff. Again.
Yeah.
I don't really remember, because I know we started this a while ago, but do we know why Xehanort is here?
Not yet. We'll see that probably at the end of this episode.
Okay,
What we know is that Xehanort's Heartless, Ansem, and nobody, Xemnas, were destroyed, so Xehanort should come back to life. What it shouldn't be is this very young version of him, which technically the game hasn't revealed it's Xehanort yet, but it's very obvious, and I let it slip very early on in our Dream Drop Distance coverage because it's very obvious.
This isn't going to be like a FNAF type thing where like a part of him is embedded in this dream world, right? And he's trying to come out through one of them.
Not like that, no.
So he is embedded in the dream world.
No. He is not from the dream world. He just is a following Sora and Riku, basically.
To get something out of them.
To do something. I can't describe it without giving away the rest of the plot of the game.
Okay.
After young Xehanort leaves, Sora collects the sound idea and returns to Mickey. They use the sound idea on the music stand, but nothing appears to happen. Mickey questions if one sound idea isn't enough, but Sora tells him not to worry, because he has a friend who will help. Right on cue, a second sound idea appears out of nowhere, and together, the sound ideas release the darkness protecting the music stand, which allows Sora to enter the musical realm again, to face the Spelican. And he beats its ass this time. Once the Spelican is defeated, Sora returns to Mickey, who's no longer stuck in his trance. Mickey thanks Sora, and the two shake hands. Mickey runs off to do Sorcerer's Apprentice things, and Sora seals the seventh sleeping keyhole. Riku also arrives in the mysterious tower, with a torrent of water coming down the massive spiral staircase. He makes his way up and sees the tranced out Mickey in a flooded Yensid's office. Much faster than Sora, because Riku is an intelligent person, Riku realizes that the music stand is what's trapping Mickey in his trance, probably because it had some weird darkness energies around it. He does summon his Keyblade, but because he's also not as rash as Sora, he doesn't instantly attack. And before he does, he is afflicted with the same curse as Sora. And he has basically the same conversation with Mickey before heading into the musical realm to find the sound idea.
Mickey! It's this musical score. It has him trapped.
You won't be able to defeat that darkness with brute force. I'm Mickey, the Sorcerer's Apprentice. Who are you?
Riku, if brute force won't work, tell me what will.
Do you really mean you're gonna try and help me?
Yes.
Gosh, Riku, something tells me you and I are gonna be good friends and we'll help each other out a lot someday.
Maybe.
inside this music is a sound idea powerful enough to dispel the darkness. Can you find it?
I'll try. Leave it to me.
And you know, now that we've gotten there, the item, a sound idea, is the reason that we called the musical episode a sound idea.
Mm. Riku sounds like me when I'm trying to explain to my husband, like, if something's wrong or, like, I feel fussy and I'm like, I want something, but I don't know what it is. Like, is it like a snack? Is it a drink? I was like, what's wrong, babe? And I'm like, He's like bringing the drama in this episode and I'm here for it.
Oh, I just kind of like, he can actively see where Mickey is. And I know that Mickey's talking to him in his head, but why is he looking around all like, Mickey's right in front of you, babes.
Is there a second Mickey?
There's only one. And you see him. It's okay.
Yeah, you know, I can't explain away the goofiness of Kingdom Hearts. Riku fights many Dream Eaters on his path until he finally arrives at the sound idea, and he collects it. As soon as he does, darkness surrounds him. Suddenly, he's flying above a volcano with young Xehanort waiting at its peak.
You waiting for me?
Yes, the boy chosen by the Keyblade, Riku.
What?
It was yours first, wasn't it? But you succumbed to the darkness you could not control, and your prize, the Keyblade, passed on to Sora instead. Your mistakes always end up being other people's problems. And Riku does the fucking Arthur meme as young Xehanort says that little monologue, and it's very good. Very funny to me.
Maybe so, but I'm here to change all of that.
Once again, he performed predictably, although on a grander scale than I imagined.
If you're feeling so chatty, let's skip to where you reveal what this is all about.
I don't know how you did it, but you really have found a way to trap darkness in your heart. And a boy who's immune to darkness is of no use to us.
Well, there's some good news.
Your abyss awaits. And as soon as young Xehanort says this, the volcano erupts, and Chernabog, from Fantasia and also from Slavic mythology, comes out, and Riku fights him.
This was really Edgelord meets Edgelord.
It was.
The conversation was.
Oh, they get some even edgier conversations in a little bit. I don't think we'll get there today, but... After the fight, Riku returns to Mickey and tries the sound idea. Just like on Sora's side, it doesn't do much alone, but their sound ideas connect and together release the darkness that protects the music stand. As soon as it's gone, Mickey is no longer tranced and the office no longer flooded. They talk, and then Riku seals the keyhole.
That was amazing! What happened?
Sora.
Sora? Funny. Just hearing that name kind of makes me want to smile.
Yeah. That's how he is.
What do you know? Riku and Sora. The sound ideas you two set free joined together. And when they did, they made a great and powerful harmony.
Sora can find the brightest part of anything and pull off miracles like there's nothing to it. It's pretty hard not to smile around him.
Wow! No wonder the music sounded like so much fun. But I bet he's got you to thank for that. Having such a good friend means he could really enjoy it.
Huh?
It's like each of you is holding on to a little part of the other.
Gay!
Your hearts are always in tune, so they're free to sing. Gosh! I hope I can be part of the team someday.
You will. Trust me.
Mickey, get off their soulmate vibes.
And I left this part in to show you guys what it looks like when they seal the keyholes, because it is a unique animation that we've never seen in any of the other games up to this point. It like does that weird explosion thing in the kaleidoscopy, and we will see that in a future game when they aren't doing this to sleeping keyholes. So
that's really not what I thought you've been talking about. I was picturing them actually putting their sword in something and turning.
No, anytime they seal or unlock a keyhole, it's some weird beam that shoots out of their keyblade.
That had so many gay undertones to it, and overtones, and tone.
It was pretty fucking gay. Kingdom Hearts was gay, guys.
It's hard not to smile around him. Babes. Babes!
So, they have now both sealed their 7 keyholes. Presumably, their test should be over. What do you think's gonna happen next? Clearly, the game's not over. We haven't had any conclusion. Any climax.
Xehanort's gonna come out. And he's... I don't know. Gonna possess someone. Gonna remove somebody who's possessed.
Cronus, you've done it again.
Oh.
You predict too well. In a weird way that I'm not gonna explain, but you've done it again.
Somebody's possessed?
In a way, in a manner of speaking. You'll understand. Probably not today, but next time we record.
Ooh.
But immediately after they finish off in the Symphony of Sorcery, back in the real Mysterious Tower, we have a meeting between Donald, Goofy, Mickey, and Yen Sid.
Master Yen Sid? Gosh, do you think he'll be able to do it?
It's clear you cannot teach a cat to bark. But Merlin and the 3 good fairies are aiding him in a place that's more temporally flexible. My hope is that he can at least learn to wield it. He certainly has fire, so I suppose it depends now on how strongly it burns.
Oh.
Oh.
But what about Sora and Riku?
Well, if we are running on the assumption Xehanort knew what we were planning, then he still would need to have been there. Back in the very place and time when the Destiny Islands were lost to darkness. Otherwise, Sora and Riku would have been beyond his reach.
Gee, do you really think it's possible Xehanort could have planned things that far in advance?
No, as a matter of fact, I do not.
But what if he did the same thing as Sora and Riku did, and he jumped through time?
For that to work, a version of himself would have had to exist at both source and destination. Not even Xehanort can transport his whole body across vast reaches of time.
Oh no. I remember, Xehanort did give up his body. It was a version of him that was possessing Riku.
No, it cannot be. Could he be that cunning? Possess that kind of foresight?
If it's all right with you, can I go help Sora and Riku out?
How? You cannot enter the world of a dream. Where will you go?
If Xehanort really is behind all this, then they won't stay in the dream worlds forever. Eventually, they're gonna reappear somewhere that we can go reach them. And we can even probably guess the place. Follow the hearts, and you'll find the way. That's something Master Aqua told me once.
Hmm.
We're going too.
Aw, fellas, you're my best pals. But this time, I really do need to go it alone. The dangers are greater than anything we've ever faced before. If something were to happen to Sora and Riku and me, why, you'll be the only ones left to keep this world safe.
Mickey, I was not able to locate Sora, but I sense Riku's presence in the realm between. Trust your heart, and I know you will find him.
Thank you. I promise I'll bring them both back safe and sound.
Sora arrives suddenly, against his will, in the dark city of the world that never was, and is almost instantly confronted by Zigbar.
Is the organization's world sleeping too? No, it can't be. I know I definitely found the 7 keyholes already, so I've got to be awake again and in the real world. But why here?
Huh, what's the matter, sleepyhead?
Who's there? Show yourself!
We jumped through a lot of hoops to get you here, but it looks as if it's gonna pay off.
You're part of this?
Hey, let's hit these plot points in order, Sora. Roxas. First, you must be wondering about your revised itinerary. Why am I here, not back home? The answer's simple. We brought you to this place. Hijacked your little slumber party before it started. And ever since, we've been both your companions and your constant guides.
Before it started, the man in the robe. And so that guy in the black coat. And Xemnas.
Bingo! You were able to go back in time to just before your world became a sleeping world, only because a past version of you already existed there. And I can see, in the past, you already met Mr. Robe Guy. Yep, he was there then to make sure you ended up here now.
You're stupid! That's ridiculous, I mean.
I agree, Sora. It sure is. It's too perfect. Who'd ever believe it? Which is why you idiots never saw it coming. You thought you were off doing some kind of test, right? Well, test this. How come you're wearing the same clothes if you're already back home? You are not going to wake up, okay? Look, there's no real versus dreams anymore. There's just you, us, and this.
I see. Fair enough. So what? At least I know who to blame for it.
Oh, I see you still got that angry look down. But here's where I tag out. I just got a few more hoops I gotta jump through. Zigbar teleports above Sora and shoots 12 of his needle things around Sora. And where each one hits, an image of a person in a black coat appears. The one directly in front of Sora has their hood down and is young Xehanort.
Come with me.
What?
Pleasant dreams, kiddo.
Come with me. What?
Pleasant dreams, kiddo.
Yes, this was where it started. At this point, I still had no idea that I was talking to myself. He cast away his bodily form just to set me on the appointed path.
What do you mean?
That is Xehanort, reduced to just a heart. The being you and your friends called Anzim.
Whoa! Him. Is that?
Yes. The point in time that Zigbar mentioned.
Me. Right before my world was swallowed by the darkness.
To move through time, you must leave your body behind. Anzim first sent me on my way, and then placed himself here when the time was right. That is what set all these events in motion.
What are you saying? That he knew everything that would happen?
No, not everything. But remember, Anzim possessed Riku and saw his experiences in real time.
So? That could only tell him so much. How did he know I would be here today?
Simple.
Kairi!
I forgot about her. Don't be real honest.
So did the games.
Yeah, it's been a while. I was thinking that too.
You've been here many times. Your first journey. Your voyage through memories. In the Datascape. In your dreams. Relived again and again. Like deja vu.
And as far as plot progression goes, that's where we're gonna end.
Pim's got little stubby fingers.
Yeah, for that whole, like, point of view time, just from the outfit, I can tell you that was Kingdom Hearts 1 Sora. That's why he's extra stubby and, like, the biggest of yellow shoes. But they've set up enough of the plot points that I can start to explain time travel. I think they'll explain it next time that we record. Okay. But I can go ahead and explain it because we're not too far from it. That weird thing we just saw with young Xehanort kind of laid the groundwork. To travel back in time, or to travel through time at all, you must be only a heart. You cannot. It's extremely difficult for a whole body to travel through time. That's one of the things that Yen Sid said. Like, it's almost impossible for a whole body to travel through time. So you have to be only a heart. And you can only go to a point in time where another version of yourself already exists. So you can't go beyond your own lifetime.
Okay.
So, we don't exactly know why there's a young Xehanort here who's come forward in time. But we do know that Xehanort possessed Terra's body. Became apprentice Xehanort, the younger Xehanort that was working under Anzim the Wise. Stabbed himself with his Keyblade after stabbing all of the other apprentices, which extracted his heart that became the brown cloaked guy, and his body went off to become Xemnas. Brown cloaked guy is Anzim, but only has that form we know of as Anzim when he possesses Riku. Otherwise, he's just a heart floating around in that brown cloak. Or Mr. Robe Guy, as Zigbar calls him. So, Just a Heart Anzim went back in time all the way to early 20s, late teenagers, Xehanort, and told him about how to time travel and about some future stuff so that he would come forward to now. For some reason we don't exactly know yet. And that's one of the ways that time travel works in Kingdom Hearts.
That's okay.
My biggest problem with this game is that this is the game they set up time travel rules. Okay. But they also already broke them. Or if they didn't, they don't they don't make it clear enough that they didn't break them. Because at the beginning of the game, Sora and Riku were back in time so that they could ride Destiny Islands as it fell asleep. But as far as we know, that whole process doesn't quite add up what we saw with what should have had to happen for them to time travel like that. Like, they would have had to only be hearts to be doing that right now. But they aren't. They have full bodies.
Okay.
We do know that Merlin has other time magics. We saw that a little bit in Kingdom Hearts 2 when he opened that door to the past that led to the classic Disney worlds. Like the old Mickey cartoons world. So maybe he has something to do with this because he has a different version of time magic. But it's not made clear, and so it frustrates me that this game sets up its rules for time travel and seemingly breaks them at the same time.
Mm. They seem to set up rules for lots of things and then immediately break them. Like, there are no rules. That's what I've learned.
Yeah.
There are no rules for Sora. Most other characters have to follow the rules of the universe. Sora gets to break every rule of the universe.
That's very MC of him.
Yeah. For those that are in the know, Dark Road spoilers, you know? So, next time, we will continue through the rest of the game. We'll probably finish up Dream Drop Distance next time. And then the episode.
And then we get to judge them all.
And then the episode after that, yeah, we'll do our end of game, bigger recap, and I will get us pictures of every single Dream Eater, and we'll have a Dream Eater rating time.
Yes! I'm so stoked.
So, do you guys have any final thoughts, comments, questions on what we covered of Dream Drop Distance today?
No, I think it was interesting. I really, really hard out here. All I gotta say. I'm not gonna elaborate.
I know it gets rather confusing when that whole Young Xehanort final cutscene. More of it'll be slightly more explained next time too, but
it's not so much the content of the cutscene, just the fact I really like his character design, and that's difficult.
I was really proud because my last line, I believe it was simply, "What?" And I wasn't ready for that dramatic debut because my cat decided to be drama. And I was also watching the general chat in the heart-to-heart server that everybody should join and come be friends with us. But anyway, I was watching that, so I was a smidge distracted. And then it was my time to shine. And so I just stammered out, "What?" all dramatic. But it was pretty close to the actual video. So
it was.
I'm proud of that theatric. Thank you.
Since you guys have now heard his official voice, I do want to mention that Young Xehanort's voice actor is the same voice actor of Haida in Agretzko.
You're joking!
I'm not
really?
Joking.
Really?
That is Haida.
Haida's my favorite.
Haida is baby.
That's a voice actor? Because I was sitting here being like, I really like the voice. Whoa, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, that's Haida. Obviously, this character speaks very monotone and kind of almost robotic. But that's very much a character thing. It's not the voice actor by any means.
I could honestly do a podcast on how much I love Agretzko, okay?
Same! I love Agretzko. And,
spin off.
Wow.
So good.
That's it, y'all. We gotta do a spin off.
And the only two Kingdom Hearts voice actors who have ever, like, mentioned that they actively play the games are Axel's voice actor, Flitton Quinn, and young Xehanort, Haida, Ben Diskin. Gotta be careful, because it kind of looks close to Dick Skin, but it's not.
Oh, my God.
The children, Austin. The children.
This is an explicit podcast. If the children have chosen to listen this far, they're... if the word dick skin is too much, I'm sorry. You shouldn't have gotten to episode... what is this, 46?
We said this was an adult podcast in the beginning.
I mean, the first fan art we did ask for was Goofy in a corset, so you know what? Fair.
And they delivered. We got that shit.
Renovar!
So good.
G! So good.
Renovar MVP. Does always fulfill on the Goofy in a sexy pose art.
Like, I was literally going through the art channel in the Discord and found where Renovar, like, made little characters for us, and I'm like, I'm still shocked at how, like, on point they are.
Mm-hmm.
Like...
My machete blade. That's what I remember about it.
Riley in the harem pants and the tank top. Me with my little mushroom keyblade. And then Cronus out here with the big ass machete.
That would be Cronus's keyblade.
Oh yeah.
Listen. I got style and pizzazz and brute strength.
Fantastic. Big fan, Renovar. Let me know if you ever get a Patreon.
Right? Wow, I said that really intensely. Rein it in.
Hey everybody, Editing Austin here. Just wanted to pop in real quick to mention that we are going to do a Halloween episode again this year. So if you want to share your spooky stories, join the Discord. And reach out to me, and you can send me your Halloween stories that we will read on our spoopy Halloween episode. Thanks, goodbye.
If y'all have nothing else, then I think that our intro and outro song is Dearly Reminded by Ayana Ultra. His Bandcamp link are in the show notes. You can also find our Discord server in the show notes.
Woo!
That's all for us this week. Bye!
Bye.
Adios.
Ay, Dios mío.
No.
This world has been connected. I'm going to give you guys a brief spoiler. Because I think it'll be really funny to slowly drag this onto the screen and have you guys react. Oh, fuck. It's cut off. Hold on.
Kill him!
Choke out that mouse. Choke out that mouse.
That sounds like a really terrible euphemism. Do not continue
saying
that. I
also see Sora on that throne.
Shut up. Don't
look. I see Sora on the throne. They're going to awaken something in Sora.
Don't look so close.
And then Sora's gonna be a bad guy for a minute, or something inside Sora's gonna be a bad guy for a minute, and Nikki's gonna be like, Sora, wake up! And then,
Say like Nikki?
Mickey. Mickey.
Oh, I thought you said Nikki, and we're talking about Reese
no.
for some reason.
No. Mickey will be like, Sora, wake up! And then Ansem's gonna be like, get away from him, mouse!
I think it's because... I think I thought that because for a while my phone kept trying to autocorrect Riku to Ricky all the time.